Sitting here with B from the awesome band Birds in Row. Hello.
How's it going?
You're playing here at Roadburn Festival, I think, for how many times? I thought it's the second time, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the second time, yeah. And we're really, really stoked to be back, really.
Okay. And you're playing an entire album, your latest album, Gris Klein. I don't know how it's well pronounced.
Gris Klein, but whatever.
Okay. And you're playing the whole album. Probably you're playing songs that you never played before live. So how's it going on with the preparations of the show?
Like, we rehearsed yesterday. There's actually two songs that we don't play live usually, and these are the two last songs of the record. Because when we came back from, you know, all the COVID situation and stuff, we really just wanted to play the new album, and it was really hard to take off some songs, so we ended up playing most of the songs of the record. But those two last songs have been missing of the set list, and we didn't forget about them, but it was harder to play them the first time we tried. and now we're ready, I think. It's cool.
Okay. About the album, I really like the sound of the record, and you work together with a well-known producer here in the Roadburn scene, I think, with Magnus Lindberg, and he's also known as the drummer of Cult of Luna. And not only this, you also released on the label of Cult of Luna, the Red Creek Records. How did all this happen?
It's just that at some point we needed some change in our situation. Like, we stayed for 10 years with Death Wish, and we arrived at a point where we started to being more professional, and we needed to have like a setup that was more favorable for us. And also the fact that Red Creek is a European label was very important to us, because, as I said, like, for 10 years we've been on an American label being French, so it was kind of like weird in a way. Because obviously we're not going to be the hype band in the US, but we're trying to make something a bit bigger in Europe, maybe. And having a European label is better for that. And also, like, Red Creek started recently, so they had a lot of things, like a lot of energy and things to bring. So it was kind of like a perfect timing to work together, I guess.
Okay. But Death Wish is well a well-known label.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, but it's just some stuff wouldn't work with the way we wanted to do things. Okay. So it's just, you know, I think it's more uncommon for a band to stay on the same label for a long time. And we've always been very faithful with the people we work with, and it was just probably the end of an era or something like that, something that we needed to change, mm-hmm. I guess.
Okay. I just wonder, because you said you wanted to professionalize, and I thought Death Wish is a elaborated label. I don't know.
But them being American means that it's harder. For example, if you look into like subsidies and stuff like that, you know, it's like money, like legal stuff, like that is not really interesting to me. But when it comes to that, obviously, it's not the same, like having an American label and a European, like even French label, because Red Creek is kind of like, is a French person, like Alexis Sevigny and Johannes from Cult of Luna. It's the band that the label they started together. So we have like a French label, and it's way easier for us to work with, also for the language sometimes. I think, you know, the COVID maelstrom put a lot of things in perspectives, and also. I don't know, created maybe some tension somewhere, sometime. Maybe it was also just like, we need a change if we want to start over, you know, the kind of like the world after COVID that we needed. And so it's really just something that went like this, and that was not really like thought through at the beginning. It was not like, we want to have a new record label for the new record. It's more something that happened like this, you know.
Okay, that's the best thing, I think.
Yeah. Mm. When things happen, like more like logically, I guess. Yeah.
I'm also absolutely in love with the artwork of your latest record. You told me the name is Gris Klein.
Yeah.
Okay, and I always wondered if I don't know what the what's about the term Gris Klein. I always thought it's a name.
Klein, Klein comes from the artist Yves Klein, okay, who created a product that you can't actually say it's a color because it's a product, but it's the blue Klein. The Klein blue, which is like a very specific blue. If you ever seen it, it's like a modern art type of thing. If you see it, you know it's Klein blue. It's something that it's physical when you see it, and I decided on this title for the record because it's a record that talks about depression and a lot of time in the lyrics I wrote some references to art or history of art in general and also to color blindness, like, you know, comparing depression to color blindness in the way that how can you how is it that you enjoy something when you don't see it the same way than the people who produced it, for example, or like the people who like see it in general? Like I've always wondered what it is to be colorblind, because that's a total different world, you know. And for me, there was a very interesting way to put it. Like when you're depressed, it's really hard to see the light at the end of the tunnel. It's really hard to believe there's a good reason to wake up in the morning. And you have to realize that it's kind of like a filter that is on your mind, you know, on your point of view, that makes everything gray. You know, there's no color in the background. There's nothing that makes you feel like I need to move forward or anything like that. And so that's why like gris means gray in French. And it's kind of like saying, what if you would see the Klein blue but gray? Would you like it as much or not? And how would you describe it? You know, all this reflection around depression and the effects that it has on your life and your point of views, you know? So it's really...
okay, very interesting. Very interesting. And you talked now about the name of the record, and probably you can tell something about the artwork.
The artwork I did also... I started painting pretty much during the COVID, like the lockdowns and stuff. And because there were so many references to art in general in the record, I wanted I wanted it to be a piece of art, kind of. I've always done the covers for the band, like all the artworks, even the shirts and stuff. It's always been we've always done it ourselves. Except for like two records where like the photos were taken by some other people because we were on tour and stuff, so it was hard for me to do it. All the layouts, all the ideas, they come from the band all the time. And for this one, I was like, I want to really do everything, not you know, give it to someone else, because this record was too important for me. And so I started painting, and it was hard for me to paint. So I started like working 2 hours a day, even if it was just doing like one brush at a time, you know. But I would dedicate 2 hours in my days for painting and make sure that I move forward with this. And so the idea came pretty naturally when the, you know, the whole concept of the record, or like the whole topic of the record came, because depression is something that I know, if it's not for me, it's for like the people around me. A lot of people are depressed around like, I mean, a lot of people are depressed in general now. and you know, there's always like this feeling of, you know, being like trapped in something that you can't escape. And you feel like you're still trying your best to escape, but you just can't figure it out. So I wanted to have like a character that would be kind of like trapped in the square format of the design, you know, like being like a little bit like trapped like this. But still trying to look at the colors of flowers. And when you see the face of the character, you're not sure if the character actually sees and appreciates the colors or if it's just another gray item in the background, you know. And so that was the whole idea behind the artwork in general, and dead flowers and stuff like that, because, you know, emo.
Okay. Very interesting. Okay, didn't know that you did the artwork. It's absolutely beautiful.
We did all the artworks for the band, even like the tour posters and stuff. Okay. Something that we're very picky on. Sometimes we have artists proposing us to do posters for us, and I'm always like, I don't want anyone else to do the designs for us, because it's like asking someone else to do the music for us. You know, it's very important. Like the image that we have, I might not be the best illustrator or like best painter or whatever, but it comes from the band. The same way that I'm not the best guitar player and we're not the best musicians, but we do the things we do for ourselves and you know, by ourselves. That's mm-hmm. if it means something.
Okay, yeah. Very interesting. Last thing, after the record Griclin, you released a split with Swiss fellows of Colgan. So yeah. What's your connection with the Swiss hardcore scene?
Swiss in general, we don't have many connections. Actually, we started playing Switzerland more recently. But Colgan's is a band that we toured with before COVID. And it's a band that we had a connection, a very strong connection in the first days of tour. Like, I mean, their ethics are pretty much the same than ours. The way they do music and the reasons why they do music is the same. They're as gentle as they are, like, talented. And we've always been, like, it's so cool to tour together. You know, it feels like family in a way. Oh. And at some point during one of the tours, we mentioned, like, maybe we could do something, you know, like a super group together, it would be nice, but it was just like kind of an idea like this. And at some point, a French magazine called Mono proposed us to do a split records, because they're with their magazine, they have like a little 7-inch. Okay. It's like side A would have been Berzinro and side B would have been Colgan's. And when they proposed that, we were like, actually, we don't really want to do a split record, also because we don't have new songs for Berzinro. We just released Griclin, so it's going to be hard for us to get back into like composing new stuff, but we had this idea of maybe doing a super group together, so like a collaboration thing, and the magazine was like, let's do this, it sounds amazing. So we ended up booking like 7 days of studio time with nothing, like we didn't know what we were gonna do, we didn't even know if we would be able to work together, and in 7 days we composed, recorded the three songs that we have, and two of them went out on the Mono magazine, and then we released the last one with the two first ones on the one side LP that we have with us actually today.
okay, that's why this happened. Well, actually, I'm looking very forward to your show.
Thank you.
Thanks for your time.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. And see you around.
Yeah, see you. Thank you so much.